From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's meditation is entitled, Reflectors of the Lord's Beauty. The text is Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The portion of other men fills their bodies and enriches their children. But the portion of the believer is of another sort. Men of the world have their treasure in this world, but men of the world to come look higher and further. Our possession is twofold. We have God's presence here and His likeness hereafter. Here we behold the face of the Lord in righteousness, for we are justified in Christ Jesus. Oh, the joy of beholding the face of a reconciled God! The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ yields us heaven below, and it will be to us the heaven of heavens above. But seeing does not end it. We are to be changed into that which we gaze upon. We shall sleep a while, and then wake up to find ourselves as mirrors which reflect the beauties of our Lord. Faith sees God with a transforming look. The heart receives the image of Jesus into its own depths, till the character of Jesus is imprinted on the soul. This is satisfaction, to see God and to be like Him. What more can I desire? David's assured confidence is here by the Holy Ghost made to be the Lord's promise. I believe it. I expect it. Lord, vouchsafe it. Amen.
Above, Lord, you walk before and behind me.
great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Christ instructed His disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come. What is this kingdom? It is a kingdom of grace, entered only by personal faith in Christ. It is a prayer for salvation. Also, it is a prayer for sanctification, a plea that God will have absolute dominion over every area of our lives. As Dr. Cairns will point out, this is also a prayer for souls to be saved. Here is the great privilege and duty of every Christian to be personally involved in extending Christ's kingdom by giving out the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue with this theme of Thy Kingdom Come, praying for the reign of grace.
I read a statement by a man in England many years ago. Well, he made the statement many years ago. It seemed to me to sum up just the attitude of so many professing Christians. I said, yes, I've been a Christian for some time, and I have always acknowledged Christ as my King. But I'd have to say that he was a sort of a constitutional monarch. If you understand anything of the British system of government, we have a constitutional monarchy. He is the constitutional monarch, head of state. But I was prime minister, which meant he made the actual executive decisions and then went to God for his rubber stamp. But before we condemn him, is that not how most professing Christians live their lives? Oh yes, I acknowledge Christ as King. Until his kingly rule runs opposite to my selfish desire. And suddenly, he's just a constitutional monarch. He's acknowledged in words, but I am the executive who has the power. And I make the decisions. That man went on to say that God had to bring him brokenly to the place. Christ was no longer a constitutional monarch, but he was an absolute sovereign. And that's what we're praying for. Lord, bring me more and more under the absolute dominion of my Savior. Let me see him in the gospel so that my thinking is governed by all that I learn of Christ in the gospel. Let my entire life be governed by what I believe about Jesus Christ. Let me not succumb to public opinion. Let me not be ruled by public policy. Let me not be ruled by what is expedient. Let me be ruled by what I believe about Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying when we pray, Thy kingdom come. Advance the reign of Christ in grace in me and in every part of me. Now, think of that. This is a massive prayer that we're praying. Advance the reign of Christ in every part of me. Start with my mind. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Govern the way I think. Take a hold of my purposes. Let me not fill my mind with all sorts of wickedness and ungodliness so that I think the way the ungodly think and I act and react the way the ungodly do. Come in and take possession of my mind. Let the gospel in all its fullness fill my thinking processes. Sanctify my thinking. You know, that's where the battle for sanctification is won and lost. Before it ever gets to the action of the hand or the step taken by the foot, it takes place first in the head and then in the heart. Bring my mind under control of Jesus Christ. Bring my will under the control of Jesus Christ. Break that will. There's so much of the human will that needs to be broken before we can ever, in Christ-likeness, be of use to our God. Many years ago, there was a great opera singer by the name of Jenny Lind. She had a magnificent voice. Some people went to hear her sing, and one of them was a man by the name of Goldschmidt. He was asked, "What do you think of her singing?" He said, "There is a harshness in that voice. If I could marry that woman and make her love me and break her heart, she could sing." The amazing thing is that he did marry her, and he did break her heart,
And he did crush her feelings. But he was right. It was then that the world heard her voice at its sweetest, and it was said that the very angels of heaven would hang over the battlements to catch the sweetness of a magnificent voice. Lifted up beyond the realm of selfish sinfulness of that man, lifted up to a spiritual realm. And let me tell you, there is always a harshness. There is always a selfishness. In the best sounding testimony of any Christian who has not been brought to the place of a heart broken by love, of a will broken and led at the feet of Jesus, Lord, thy kingdom come, in my mind, in my will, in my body, in my words, in my works. Thou hast promised that the kingdom belongs to the poor in spirit. And the word poor in Matthew 5:3, if you remember our studies in that passage, does not mean deprived of much. It means deprived of everything. It's destitute. Destitute of self. Make me like that, so that the kingdom may come. Or to use Paul's words, sanctify me wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Thy kingdom come. We first mean when we pray that, save me on God's terms. We mean secondly, therefore, continue this great work of sanctification in me on God's terms. But the third thing we mean is, regarding our service, bring other people under the reign of grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the kingdom of Christ flower and flourish. We read, when we came to this passage a couple of weeks back, we read in Matthew 13, the various parables of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he gave these various parables. You remember he spoke of the mustard seed. It was so tiny, but it grew and grew and grew and kept on growing. He spoke of it as leaven that was so small, but it kept on influencing its surroundings until it had completed its work. This is the picture of the kingdom of heaven, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's take that back to him in prayer and say, Father, in Jesus' name we lift up this mighty promise. You have said the kingdom will be like a seed that will grow till it fills the earth. You have promised it would be like leaven that would keep on doing its mysterious but mighty and powerful work until it would have its effect on all its surroundings. Lord, let the kingdom of Christ flower and flourish. Reach the unreached. Save the unsaved. Let the grace of God touch people that we could not otherwise touch. Do a work of bringing many, many men and women of every race and every culture, bringing them under the lordship, the kingship, and the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying. Thy kingdom come. We're praying, Lord, go forth conquering and to conquer. Set out on a mighty soul-winning crusade. Give power to the gospel. Give blessing to every evangelistic outreach. Lord, use me to save souls. That's what it comes down to. It's not just, Lord, save souls, but Lord, use me to save souls. Thy kingdom come. There's a minister who had what was called a very good church. It was a Methodist church. And he decided he was going to resign. And his reason for resigning
was that he felt the church was not seeing anybody saved. And so the people came to him. And they said, but this is crazy. Sure, we're not seeing anybody saved, but the ministry here is edifying us. And he practically spat the words at them. Edifying you for what? That's a good question. It's a very good question. Because it's the easiest thing in the world to have a nice, neat little club where we come and we're happy, where we have fellowship together, where the Word of God edifies us, but for what? What is the use of being made strong if you never exert any strength? What's the use of having the power of your legs if you never walk? The power of your tongue if you never talk? What's the use of being edified in grace if you never speak of grace to anybody else? What is the use of being in church if you've no desire to reach others with the gospel and bring them to Christ? The whole thing becomes a charade. Nothing more. That minister preached that way to those people. They began to take this seriously. A man went and spoke to his employees, gave them the gospel, brought them under the sound of the word, saw them saved. Let me tell you, this is how the kingdom advances. When we are praying, Lord, thy kingdom come, we are praying earnestly, let the reign of grace reach out to the rebels and the sinners, and let it reach out through me. Give me a contact with sinners. Give me a contact with needy souls. Give me the grace to go after them, to win them for Christ. That's what we're praying. Do you ever pray that way? Do you have that desire as a Christian? Do you have any real heart interest in the spread of the gospel? Oh, it's good to see missionaries go out. It's good to give them our financial support. It's good to give them our prayer support. We have a hand, as it were, in reaching out across the world with the gospel. It's a joy to know that even from this little congregation, the Word of God has been taken from one country to another, and people have been reached and saved through it. That's a glorious thing, but I want to tell you this. There's a lot more to it than that. The time has come for us, honestly, to say, Lord, use me. Use me. And when people get serious about using the opportunities God has given them to bring sinners under the sound of the gospel, or to give those sinners the gospel themselves, God will extend the kingdom. Bring others. Bring others. Bring others in under the reign of Christ. Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.